I was kind of, you know, scratchy, and then you have to say, well, Lord, you're just going to have to carry it this Sunday. And he kind of says to me, well, I carry it every Sunday if you're listening. So, but anyway, we're continuing in Galatians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, open to Galatians 2, and I'm going to kind of be repetitive. The things on Wednesday in our roundtable podcast that we're sending out, I'm kind of then going back like we did when we would talk about it on Wednesdays, and then Sunday we would develop it. And so we're looking at part of the story of Peter and Paul. That's Peter on the left and Paul on the right. And I think probably they sort of looked like this. These drawings, that's what I told him, yeah. Yeah, we like our fiddle player if he was bald. So we'll start calling Parker Paul. Is that what we're going to do? St. Parker. That's all right. But it's kind of fun when we actually see faces instead of this name in the Bible and think, what is this person? Who were they? They had personalities. They had problems that they went through and things that happened. And as Paul began to go up into what is now Turkey, which they called Asia Minor, he would go up there and he would share the gospel. Remember, Paul was converted, Joey, on the road to Damascus. He was this guy that persecuted Christians, hated Christians. Paul was passionate about his faith. And I told you last week that sometimes I think it's our passion, even if it's misdirected, that God honors our passion. And he goes, you say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. And we saw scriptures last week that he that seeks the Lord will find him, you know. And I've had some of y'all say, God never talks to me. Well, then I would say, then seek him passionately. And just don't be surprised. It may take months or years, and then something will happen. You go, wow, that was the voice of God or the hand of God. Amen. And it can happen in your life, and it's amazing. And Paul had that kind of passion. And so Paul went into Asia Minor, and he began to establish these churches, and it was this whole new gospel. I'm going to take off my feet are uncomfortable today, and I'm going to preach barefooted. I've never done that. The Devonports are going to jump up and run out. They got pastor down there preaching barefoot. I had an old folk moment yesterday at the Whitehall store. I was filling up and I was talking to someone and put my toe right into a metal piece on my trailer, you know. Yeah, and it talked to me all night long. But anyway, he was there in Asia Minor. He came in with this gospel that Jesus himself revealed to Paul, which is really interesting. And Kelton will talk about that when he does communion, where basically Paul went to seminary. Because we know no one was there to teach him the things that he learned. And he says later, these things I was instructed in. That means that the Lord somehow came and revealed himself to Paul either in visions or dreams or sat down with him or showed up or something. We don't know. But Paul went through Asia Minor preaching Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Amen. That is the message of Galatians. Jesus plus nothing is everything. This is going to be kind of a weird sermon today because I'm walking us through Galatians chapter 2. It's kind of different thoughts that come in. And it's basically a battle against legalism. It was Paul versus the Judaizers. And we still have Judaizers today. We just don't call them Judaizers. They don't tell us that we need to be circumcised. They tell us we need to look a certain way when we come into church. They tell us these rules and regulations that we need to follow to be a good Christian, okay? That's the current day equivalent of a Judaizer. Judaizer said, how can people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus and not be good Jews? It was impossible for them to think outside of their own frame of reference to think that God was bigger than their minds. And so they would come behind Paul, who had preached, rose, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And they said, and you need to be circumcised and you need to keep this law, this law, this law, and this law. And Paul throws his hands up again and again saying, no, may it never be. These are the people that want to take away our freedom in Christ. That's what he's talking about. And so that's what a Judaizer was. They said, it's not just Jesus and him alone, but it's Jesus plus something else. Do y'all remember the words that Jesus spoke on the cross? I mean, he spoke seven different times. But what was the last thing that he said? It is over. And what was he talking about? What was over?
Not just his life, but his work.
He said, it is finished.
Finished,
So this work is finished, Rochelle. What is the work that he was on the cross to do? Shed his blood for atonement for our sins as payment. So when Jesus says on the cross, it is finished, it's finished. And for 2,000 years, men have tried to unfinish the work of Christ on the cross. When I say to y'all, the finished work of Jesus on the cross, it makes, look at my hair standing on end. That is how important this is, y'all. Y'all, holy, those are Holy Ghost bumps. It's Jesus plus nothing. Because he said, the last thing, Janet, it is finished. And what was finished was this thing that we don't understand that went on, where God let himself be humiliated and turned into a man and born as a man so that we might identify with him. God is a spirit being. And he came and he allowed himself to be born through a virgin, Mary. Okay? And he suffered and he died and he rose again. Okay? And on the third day he rose. And it was God coming to humans in a way that we could relate to him. Instead of just the spirit in the air, you know, this thing up there that we can't possibly understand. Jesus said, it is finished, and it meant it. So I'm going to let you stand, if you're able, just for this part. And then I'll have you sit, because I'm going to read through the entire second chapter today of Galatians. Read with me. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus also along. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet, not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. You may be seated. So what Paul does is Paul takes Barnabas, who's a Jew, and he takes Titus up to Jerusalem. And he went and he took them to the people who were esteemed as leaders. Who's he talking about? Who was up there in Jerusalem? And we say up there because Jerusalem was up on a mountain, okay? James. No, James was one. He was Jesus' little brother. And Peter, why was Peter esteemed as a leader? Because Peter was there from the beginning. When Jesus died and rose again, Gary, they went and they waited in the upper room. Remember? And they waited and the Holy Spirit fell on them. How many days after? 50 days, okay? Exactly like before, 1,000 years earlier, they had taken Passover. 50 days later, they ended up in Sinai, where God gave his law to his people. They have Passover. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies. He's resurrected. 50 days later, the promise that he had given them appears, and that is the Holy Spirit that falls on them. And then Peter preached there at Pentecost. Amen. So Peter was there kind of and took this leadership role and began preaching. So Peter and then James came to faith. James didn't believe Jesus was Messiah, Jana. And he was Jesus' brother. He thought he was a kook, all right, and a nut. He sees him. Jesus appears to James. James comes to a saving faith in Jesus. So James is the pastor there. And he pastored there, we think, for about 30 years, a long time. So Paul goes up there, and he takes Titus with him. Now, what's so special about Titus? He's a Gentile. Somebody said that. Who said that? Somebody said it. I heard somebody say that. He was a Gentile, and Gentiles were not circumcised. So this is Paul saying, I'm going to put this thing to a test. I'm going to take Titus with me. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They all know that he's not circumcised, and Jews consider Gentiles as dogs. They couldn't eat with them, okay? They couldn't do things with them. So Paul, I don't know if he's taking Titus to just stick it in their face, but I think he's going to really test this gospel thoroughly, that in Christ there is no Greek, there is no Jew, there's no male, there's no female. That means that it's level ground at the foot of the cross, all right? And he says, as some esteemed as leaders, we're going to talk about that in a minute, and Paul's going to talk about how God has no favorites. You know, others might have esteemed James And you feel like you're God's favorite? So this was a blending. There was neither male, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Man, doesn't this country need to hear this? I mean, give me a break, okay? You know, because there is no white, there is no black, there is no Oriental or Asian or whatever is the politically correct thing to say these days. There's no nothing. If we are in Christ, we are one. Okay? I heard a professor say in seminary, there's one race, it's the human race. And we need to remember that because we all come into life with certain prejudices or things that bother us or somebody was mean to us, and we carry that with us, okay? But Paul is saying there's no longer this distinction of Jew and Gentile, you know? And it was a blending that happened. And what he's continually trying to do is keep us out of the chains of legalism. It is a constant tension in the church. There's those that want to be holy, and they have a desire to be holy, and they get in their minds what holiness is, and then they impose that on others. Okay, I'm going to get real, real this morning in here. Some of y'all may even quit the church, but I'm going to get real, real. We don't want to be the person holding that hand up. You need to do blank to be a good Christian, all right? You need to do one thing to be a Christian. You need to come to a saving knowledge that Jesus died for you, He saved you, He paid for your sins, He rose again, and you'll be with Him for eternity. All right? Everything else is extra. The conduct that follows because we're holy, not making us holy. We get real, real messed up when we think, I'm going to do this list of stuff, and I'm going to get holy. The only thing that brings you holiness, meaning true holiness before God, is the blood of Jesus. And it says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 10 then goes on and says, for you are his workmanship, created to do good works before the beginning of time. So we are not saved, Joe, by our works, but we are saved for what purpose? To do good works. We're not just saved to be in a holy huddle here and wait to go to heaven. We are saved to do good works. All right? People, I don't want a works-based theology. I'm not preaching that. I'm saying, though, you are saved to do good works outside of yourself. It will make you a more full person. It'll make you to be the hands and the heart of Jesus in the community in which you live. Okay? Legalism has two children. Okay? Tim, what are the children of legalism? Pride and self-defeat. Tim grew up in a legalistic paradigm. Let's just put it that way. And which were you? Were you proud of your perfectness or were you self-defeated? Self-defeated. Tim couldn't measure up. He couldn't do all that stuff, Scott. And he felt so bad about himself, he thought, well, why even try? I might as well quit. If I can't be perfect, because people somehow communicated to Tim, if you're really, really following the Lord, you'll have no more sin in your life. How crazy is that? What a horrible thing to say to anybody in the human race. Because then you're going to do things wrong and you think, how do I deal with me? What has happened? Am I not redeemed? Yes, you are redeemed. You think you're undeserving. What happens is you aren't deserving. God does not give you what you deserve. He gives you what you need. Amen. Aren't you glad you didn't get what you deserved? I'm glad I didn't get what I deserved. You get, Mike Davenport, what you need from God. This morning, Devin came and he made sausage and he made biscuits. And he made that available. And how much did it cost? Oh, wait a minute. It didn't cost. That's right. It was a free gift. So I was talking to Stephanie. Where's Stephanie and EJ? Out back. And so I said to Stephanie, how did you get the sausage and biscuits that Devin brought as a free gift? She says, well, I came to church. No, that's not how you got the sausage and biscuits. Gary's looking at me quizzically. I said, Stephanie, how did you get them? Well, he cooked them. I said, how did you get the sausages and biscuits? I don't know what you're getting at. You went over there and you took a plate and you took one.
Amen.
Okay, so God gave you grace. He gave his sacrifice on the cross, Daryl, but you've got to go over there and you got to pick up the plate and put on it and want what he put out, right? It was a great illustration. Thank you to Stephanie and Devin for that. As I say, you know, Christ is the one that makes you holy. Therefore, there is certain conduct we'll refrain from doing. But refraining from doing things doesn't make you holy. We have our own things. In times past, older people probably in a group said that fiddle playing was of the devil. And they didn't allow people to play the fiddle because it was considered evil. Then church music came along, and we think that only now do we have all this turmoil about church music. They had a fuss, guys, for about 100 years, you can go read about it, where they wouldn't allow a third to be put in a chord. You could only play the first and the fifth because the third sounded too frivolous and too bright. Yeah.
I think even at some time an organ was considered taboo.
Yeah, organs were taboo because they were used to play in honky-tonks, I guess, and the ancient equivalent of a strip joint or whatever. And so they started playing these organs. So I'm saying those are the kinds of things we do. Alcohol is another good example, okay? People have come to me, what is your stance on alcohol? I mean, who've come to this church and said, I don't have a stance on it. I have the Bible as a stance. Alcohol, the Bible says, is a gift from the Lord, okay? Some can't use it because they abuse it. And I know there's folks in here that have been through AA, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's not a good thing that you don't drink, but don't confuse it with holiness. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Don't confuse it. If you're doing it for a health reason or it's out of control in your life or derailing you, but God gave a gift, and we either use it properly or we abuse it. Or you don't use it at all because you just don't want it or like it. You know, sex was the same kind of gift, young people. It was given for people in the confines of a marriage, okay? It's a great gift, but outside of marriage, it's horrific. And it leads to all kinds of dysfunctions and problems and terrible things, okay? That's not being legalistic. I want to make that distinction. So those are things I wanted to talk about when I came here. Sue, you remember, I think y'all asked me, you might have been the one, well, what do you think about alcohol? I said, Sue, if I come to your house and don't run, hide your bottle of wine. You know, don't do that. You can offer it to me and I might have one or I may not. But I'm saying, let's don't be phony and let's don't be fake. That's how legalism starts, okay? And like I say, some get upset when I preach this because they go, well, you know, we're not going to go somewhere where you don't preach that alcohol is a sin. I'm going to preach what the Bible says, okay? Not what maybe somebody wants me to do to preach according to their agenda. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine where it is in its excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Wine or any other alcoholic thing.
So, I mean, do y'all see what I'm saying? God has these things in an order. Thank you for reminding me of that. You people may want to run out and celebrate or something and not realize that these gifts are given with restrictions and cautions. Yeah, Tim?
Does that mean any mind-altering?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably so. In other words, keep your mind on, you know, keep your brain in your head. And if you're going to be high on anything, be high on the Holy Spirit, you know. Amen. TV is another one. Y'all know I don't have a TV or watch TV. I have a TV, but it's not plugged into anything. And a couple of y'all will always ask me, man, did you see such and such? I said, no, I've told you like 9 million times I don't have a TV. It doesn't mean, gee whiz, I need to be embarrassed and tell the pastor that I watch something. Because then he'll think I'm not holy. I don't watch TV because, first off, there's probably not much on it worth watching. Secondly, it bores me. I wasn't raised with a television. I was raised playing instruments and doing things. So it just has no appeal to me. But it's the kind of thing, or there's some even churches that maybe they have some other, whatever their thing is. I've heard of like maybe a homeschool church, a church full of homeschoolers. Might make somebody feel bad if they sent their kid to a public school for eighth grade or something. I don't know if that kind of shaming goes on, but I bet it does, doesn't it? Kind of, you know, it's, oh, yeah. Kind of like, well, what happened to their spirituality? They have their kid in Bel Air High or something. But it's these things that we put on that are really finger-pointing, okay? So we are holy not because of anything we've done, but because we've put our faith in the precious blood of Jesus and the finished work on the cross. Amen? So what is this finished work? We've already talked about it. When you take hold of the finished work of Jesus, you're going to get off of that, what I call the human performance track. Any of y'all felt that thing where you are bone tired and weary of trying to be better?
Yes.
Bone tired and weary of it. You just think, I cannot try any harder. I cannot be a better Christian. And this is what Paul's going to talk about here. He's going to say, you begin to be all that you were meant to be when you die to yourself and you let Christ live in and through you. Then it's not you trying anymore. You've given up on you in your attempts. Do y'all follow me? And what a relief that can be. Yeah, when you give up and you surrender, you know. You told me you were raised by in a paradigm of Jehovah's Witness and Mormons and all they do, don't do. Oh, I can't even imagine.
Uh-huh. And he says, well, you know, you got to stop doing this, and this, and this.
So the moment she told him she had received the Holy Spirit and been saved, he gave her a laundry list of things to do. He'd have fit in perfectly in Derby, Lystra, and Iconium.
Yeah.
All right, following up behind Paul, adding stuff to the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus finished the work, and there's nothing we can add. I don't want y'all to take this message wrongly and go and say, well, our pastor just says we can go do whatever. If you think I'm saying that, you're not listening to me, okay? Continuing on, as for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. So Paul goes, they were held in high esteem by others, but as I said, the ground at the foot of the cross is equal, okay? We're all the same in the Lord, whether you've been preaching 50 years or he loves you, he cares for you. It's like that last song. He knows your name, okay? He knows every tear that you cry. He knows every step that you make. Well, it's okay. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message, Paul says. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had to the circumcised. In other words, Peter was given the job of going and preaching to the Jews, and Paul was to preach to the Gentiles. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also worked in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, that's Cephas, that's the Hebrew name for Peter, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. When they recognized the grace given to me, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing that we had been eager to do. And when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him face to face. So Peter shows up in Antioch, and Paul gets in his face. Isn't that interesting? For before certain men came from James, he would go and eat with Gentiles. And then when they arrived, he would draw back and separate himself. What is Paul talking about the conduct of Peter? What was Peter doing? He was being a hypocrite. Okay? You know what? I mean, that's what was happening. And he would say with the Jews, oh, I'm this real good Jew. And he would get with the Gentiles. You can do whatever you want to do. He was two-faced. And Paul called him out on it. And I want to tell y'all, this church is not full of hypocrites. There's always room for more. Okay? we may not be full of hypocrites yet, but there's always room for another. We welcome visitors, right? Not that any of us are hypocrites. So anyway, and the reason that Paul got after him is because being a hypocrite is important because influence is important. If I am a hypocrite in my life, it hurts Devin's walk with the Lord.
Yes.
Devin told me in the car yesterday or the day before we were spending time together that, you know, he said it's refreshing to be with someone that walks the walk and talks the talk and walks the talk. And does the same thing. Whether Devin's with me in here, Devin, or I'm in the pickup truck, it's the same guy, right?
Yes.
Has to be, or the cause of Christ is weakened. Do y'all see? And so be who you are. Be who you are and be free in Christ. That's my message to you today. Be who you are, be free in Christ. Bring glory to God with your conduct and your heart attitudes and that sort of thing. And we don't need to be a room full of fakes. He loves us just like we are, and he's not done with any of us yet.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Hypocrisy's deadly. And I think maybe Peter, and I thought of this when I was thinking through all this, maybe Peter just was worn down. I know we all feel kind of worn down right now. I do. These are real weird times. You know, there's a bunch of folks missing today, probably because they're just worn down. They don't remember when Sunday is. They don't remember when Wednesday is. Thursday feels like Monday, and Monday feels like Saturday. I have to stop often now and look at the calendar to figure out what day it is. Is anybody going through the same thing? And it's kind of weird. And then I look, I don't have a TV, but I'll look on the headlines in my computer, and I see these people burning up all this stuff and raising all of this crazy stuff and never saying a word of gratitude about this country in which they live. And yet people are dying today somewhere to get in here. They're literally dying. They're getting sunk on a boat, drowning, and it's so easy to sit and criticize and say how horrible this whole place is and never have a word of gratitude come out of your mouth. I told this young man that was going on and on about everything wrong in the country and blah, 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 blah. I said, you know, I've never heard you say you're thankful for one thing. And he was kind of unhappy, and I realized that ungrateful people are unhappy people.
And they want you to be unhappy.
They want you to be unhappy. They're going to burn everything down because they're unhappy, okay? But it starts in their own heart, never a thought of gratitude or anything. So we get worn down, and some of us just get quiet because we're tired of fighting. And maybe that's what Peter did. He just thought, you know, it's just not worth it. When James sends these folks down here, I'll just pretend I'm a Jew. And then when he sends them off or calls them home, I'll just go back to the Gentile house. It was just easier. We get worn down, and I want to encourage you today, don't be worn down. If you are worn down, come and drink. Jesus says, come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, or put your yoke on me. Okay, so that's a word for us today. Yes, we're weary. Yes, we're worn. You know, you wonder, will this COVID thing ever end? Will this turmoil ever end? What's going to happen in our political system? Who's going to end up in charge? You know what? It doesn't matter who's elected president because Jesus is still king.
Amen.
And all you can do is cast one vote. And you cast your vote according to your conscience and you leave the rest up to God. And I'm not saying don't be patriots. I'm a patriot. I'm the seventh generation of patriots who have been in world wars and done things and gone and fought for our country. But I'm not going to put all of my faith and trust in this political system or it'll fail me. Okay? Do you know what I'm saying? And I find that comforting in a way. So we're going to pray for our leaders. We're going to vote what it lines up the most with our faith. And we're going to leave the rest to God. And I just am bringing that up, I think, because he was worn out with the whole struggle. And there's all kinds of forces in the world that want to tear us down and keep us from following Jesus. Peter got worn down with the fight. Back at Easter, Stephanie put a sign in her little house that said, Jesus is risen. And the landlord told her to come and get that out of the window. It was offensive. That is where we are in society today, okay? At the time, she took it down to not rock the boat. But I'm saying maybe the time comes when we go, you know what? Jesus is risen whether you like it or not.
Right. Amen.
And I rent this place, and it's my place, and I'm going to keep it in here. But I'm just saying these are complicated times. Before, society was supportive of our religious beliefs, and that's kind of gone away. Okay, but it's okay. It's okay. Most of the time Christians have been alive, society at large wasn't real supportive of how they believed. Do y'all know what I'm saying? And so I want you to take comfort in that today. Leave here comforted and built up. Do the things that encourage you, okay? If watching TV drives you crazy and drives you over the edge, turn it off, okay? Let's focus on getting things into our brain that help us be positive, that help us be productive, that help us be purposeful, okay? I know maybe I'm teaching you just a little self-help stuff, but this is biblically based, what I'm saying. That's the way that God wants us to live. And so, I mean, Paul was real bold, even in that time, but I'm just saying, let's realize that hypocrisy or influence can wear us down and be deadly to us. Then we go on, it was really hard for the Jews to accept that God had chosen the Gentiles. I told y'all that. So Paul says this weird little verse. He says, but if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves all among sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then really I would be a lawbreaker. It's kind of weird. What Paul is really saying is, hey, I realize that Gentiles in our minds were dirty and they were like dogs, but God's put us together with them now. And so if we're mixing with sinners, it's okay, because this is all for the cause of Christ and for the gospel. You follow what I mean? This, I would challenge all of y'all, don't be afraid to associate with non-believers. Do it. Just don't let them be your primary influence. But if you're not with folks, how is anyone ever going to take the gospel to them? How is anyone going to live differently in front of them? Okay? So back to this thing, Lynn, when you're worn out trying, and you've done all that stuff mom and dad told you, and they beat you up with all that list of do's and don'ts, here's Paul's answer. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And then I put it in the message, okay? And I want to say the message is not a translation. It's a paraphrase that a guy named...
Peterson.
Yeah, Gene Peterson, I believe, wrote. But I like this. This is kind of, to me, puts it in modern day thinking. What actually took place, this is Paul talking. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God. If you can identify, say amen real loud. And it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman or a lawwoman so that I could be God's woman. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central to my being and to my body. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion of me, right? And I am no longer driven to impress God, because Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is it not clear to you that to go back to the old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. And if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
We can't live the kind of life through hard knuckling, but we say to him, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. Lord, I've made a mess of things till today. Make this afternoon different. Make tomorrow different. May I be different, Lord. May I be different because it's Christ living through me. Tim can't try hard enough. Tim can't get there by trying harder. It'll wear you out to keep on trying. So give up today and give it to God. That's really the message. So Union Grove, the message, I just gave you the message. We have wonderful freedom in Christ. We are not to live lives of rule keeping. Let Christ come into you and let him live through you. Righteous living follows being made holy in Christ. It cannot be the other way around, or you'll be what, Lynn? You'll be miserable. You'll be miserable. Is the Holy Spirit making you cry?
Yes. I'm just...
Some of you have tried being perfect, and it doesn't get you there. So here's the order of things. I gave you a little outline. If you don't know him, accept his grace today. The free gift that he gave you on the cross. Two, if you do know him, but you're trying to live out a life of rules and regulations to be a holier person, stop. Stop doing that today and rejoice in the freedom you have in Christ. Third, if you are in Christ, ask him to change your heart to have a desire to live your life in a way that's pleasing to him. Rejoice in the knowledge that Jesus plus nothing is everything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to turn it over to Kelton now. Do what?
I agree.
Boy, my feet feel better than they felt in 5 years here. 2 weeks, I'll be here. We'll complete our fourth year, start into fifth year on the 17th. Y'all be here, and maybe we'll have a sausage biscuit together or something. Usually we have a big barbecue. We won't do that this year, probably. It's strange times we're in. I asked. Kelton to lead us in communion today because I brought my dobro, my resonator guitar, you know.
Yeah, you promised.
And so me and the boys and Larry are going to